So, I'm like the greatest guy in the room, but only when I'm all for myself, podcasting alone in my room. And this is the question that I wanted to ask myself today. Why is it that again? How can I interpret this, interpret or understand this fact of my life? That I'm so shy, but what is shyness even? This is a bullshit word. It's bullshit because we all are shy in a certain way. And yeah, I gotta say this. I gotta bring it all out here, and I gotta tell you, little dear listeners, I'm talking in English again, but I don't give a crap. How we title this podcast could be Table Set Yourself, or it also could be Castle Cast, because these Castle Casts and Lit Casts and Sad Casts, all the stuff from November was so outstanding and spectacular that although it was so private and intimate, when I was just going into intimate depth and talking about my Schambereich, what? Let me look this up. So viel Zeit muss sein, ne? Hier. Schambereich. This doesn't even exist in English translation. This is so. Oh no. Here it says the pubic area in the perineal and pubic area. Genitalia area. Whatever area this is, I was talking all about it, and it's got into me that although it was so intimate, I should publish all this stuff, and yet I didn't do it yet, although it's already February. But I love to be on the Scheide, as I like to call it. But it's a This is not, but what I mean is being in the double mill, right? This is the thing. In the catch-22, when you don't know what to do, or in a mountain crest, like we say in German, the mountain crest is also the Wasserscheide. It's the area where it's decided which way the water flows. The water that gathers there from rivers and springs, and this is the mountain crest when you're on the top and you don't know which side to look on, which side to go. And this is always I'm taking this the problem in taking decisions, and Entscheidung in German is exactly that, Entscheidungen, because you're on the Scheide. Let's call it just that. Doesn't matter, it's mein eigener Sprachgebrauch, ne? Das hat niemandem was anzugehen, und ich werde mich hier sicher nicht rechtfertigen. What I'm saying is that I don't even know if this word is used like this in German, but it makes a lot of sense to me, because if you would call a mountain crest a Bergkamm, mountain crest, you would call it a Scheide, and then you would entscheiden, would decide which side to take it, to take on to, which path to go. So therefore, entscheiden. You're am Scheideweg. You're at this Weggabelung. Oh God, gotta look this up. When you're in a on a path, walking, and the path gets separated into two separate paths. That's a fork in the road, like in software, of course, the forks. And this is that, right? There's a fork in the road, and there you are, am Scheideweg, an der Weggabelung. And what I'm saying here is because, yeah, there's a second layer also in my thought. Of course, always I was thinking about this one thing, sex. Because Scheide means also vagina. But this leads me to another thought. But let me just express that this second layer is not at all my first concern, and I just wanted to express this nicely, what I was talking about, this mountain crest, because I feel all my life is like this mountain crest, and I can't decide which way to go, and in the end I just, I don't know, I keep going on into nowhere, right? Until, yeah, until the end. And but now that we're talking about it, vagina is this word in English, and I gotta really be adamant about this, that in German there's another word for it. There's also the word, Scheide, as I mentioned, but there's vagina, vagina in German, but exactly the same word, exactly the same spelling as in English. But then there's also vulva, and I think this exists also in English, but it's maybe not so used. Vulva also sounds quite rare. Sounds a little nasty, you might say. Nasty, yeah. Therefore, I think in German it sounds good, vulva, because, yeah, you can pronounce it like this. But the critical point I'm trying to make is that in my career as a podcaster, I sometimes touched this intimate and genitalia topics and areas of sex and love. And I'm podcasting already since, yeah, 3 years ago maybe, and always reading about this, then of course the female genitalia, and I'm thinking, well, what is this part and that, and yeah, just educating myself, and always there's this remark there. I also read from the German feminist Margarete Stokowski in her book Untenrum frei, that it's simply wrong to call the whole genitalia vagina. It's wrong, it's not correct, and it's a huge blunder, you might say. No, can't do it. But still, it's in use today like this, in German too, and in English I think too. You just say vagina when referring to the whole organ. But that's wrong, because the vagina is only this tube, exactly, the tube inside, which is about, I don't know, 12 centimeters long, I read, and this is the tube, but this is not the whole organ. So this is critical to understand, people, and I'm not trying to lecture you in any... But yes, lecture you in a positive way to educate you. We gotta talk straight about these intimate things because they're important, and gotta know what we're talking about here. So we're talking about the vulva. It's the whole organ. It has many parts. It's the vulva lips and outer and inner lips, and it has the area that's in German called Scheidenvorhof, as I read last week. Yeah, that's the Vorhof is like a patio in Espanol, is like a backyard, a front yard, right? It's the front yard of the vagina or of the vulva. I'm not so sure, because that's that's the whole problem. Now I get insecure myself and what's the right term to use and whatever. But tube is good, I think is a good word to describe this, what the vagina is and what it isn't. tube means also eyeliner. Interesting. It's also part of the, I don't know, feminine reproductive organs, but not of the vulva, I think. But that's exactly the point. It's so difficult to understand what goes where. But also in the male organs, I think there's many things I don't understand. And I always thought about this way, that biology somehow makes me a little... doesn't make me feel so good. And always talking about biology in school and class. And I just was thinking like, oh no, maybe I can do this for an hour, but I just don't want to think. When this school class has ended, I just want to go back to never thinking again that I'm also a biological being, and I just want to think like this immersiveness, like sociologists or maybe Luhmannians say. They say this is phenomenon of emergence. You emerge as a human being or as a being, an animal also emerges and doesn't care about the very biological basis, the cells, how they work, how their respiration works, and yeah, the oxygen gets into the blood. Doesn't concern me, and I don't want to know about it, frankly. It's, oh my god, what is this? And this is what I thought. I couldn't have studied medicine, although it'd be also interesting, obviously helping people. But no, I thought, this is, I can't handle this. And it's not because of the sexual parts. I think they're the most interesting, right? But it's about, yeah, about this thinking, man, there's so much stuff, so many organs inside me. How can I sleep at night, or how can I think straight when I know all this is going on at the same time in my body? And I don't know what to think about myself. So now I think I've explained that, and this was, well, this was just an icebreaker for a starter to get the kickstart here into the podcast. And yeah, I tell you, I don't even care how you like to call this podcast, because I don't care at all. I mean, I publish podcasts, but mostly in the last 3 months, I just record them for me, make this grabaciones, as in Espanol. I make this happen because I need to clear my own mind, but yet it still gets more confused, I think, over time, and that's the problem now. I'm confronted with this problem today also at work, but that's the critical point. The thing about these podcasts that are so excellent, and I was thinking about publishing those November casts, Litcast, Zcast, and Castlecast. And Castlecast is the best name, I think, because of Castellano, of course, Espanol, Spanish, but it's just a placeholder for every possible language that's not German, because it's my primordial maternal language. And yeah, therefore I think Castlecast is also a nice name. And yeah, maybe it's just like this. And I want to go further. I want to say this Castlecast, and these are really podcasts, and when I'm speaking personal, and yet I feel like gotta publish all this stuff, whatever. What I gotta do yet is maybe not use the very names, the real names of my friends and families and lovers, like I did back then. And yeah, so maybe gotta use nicknames or something. Clarissa, let's say this is girl I met at work, and I'm in this problematic situation with her because we didn't talk so much, and I feel like she hates me, and I feel like I hate myself for, I feel like it's the most important thing on earth to talk to her, yet every day I make this promise or whatever. Try to have really an iron, a will of iron. Dein Wille geschehe. What is this? No, it's not will, I wish. Intention. My intention is clear to talk to her and ask her about her weekend and stuff, but I can't. I just can't. I don't know why. And then I go by, let the all day go by, and then I feel terrible at night when I go home. And this is just this problematic situation. Let's call her Clarissa. This is Clarissa, my dear colleague, and yeah, that's the problem now. And this, and then there's this other girl, let's call her Ricarda. She used to be my girlfriend, yeah, she's my ex-girlfriend now. And yeah, I was talking about this problematic situation in this November cast, how the relationship might end. And although it's sad, it was so good to express this all. And it's not so sad for me, because I feel like it hasn't ended for real. Like, yeah, we have these differences in view about polyamorous possibilities. And maybe that's just the thing then. You gotta take some time of separation, but it still feels like this. I love her, and I just gotta explain her better, or get to explain, make her understand this. Or maybe it's impossible for her to see love this way, that you can love more than one person at a time. But never mind. Maybe it's still possible to explain or something, but for me it's just the truth. It would be just a lie to say you can only love this one person, and it wouldn't make sense. It would be a lie, like, well, like people used to believe in Earth being the center of the universe. And this is exactly the same shit with love. But I gotta say, it's not per se bad to be irrational in love, like I say, oh yeah, this girl, Clarissa at work, she's the center of my universe, and there's nothing I can do about it. And in love, things get like this. And yeah, although you maybe the next moment you think, what am I thinking there? Oh man. But you still think this way. This is this one person, and if she doesn't, if she doesn't love me back, or she doesn't see me or talk to me, then I'm just lost, and my whole life is so fucked, really messed up, and I feel like I'm living for nothing and might as well die. And this is the feeling you get in love, and I get it, and it's also a cruel feeling and sad, but still it's not so bad. I think that many people rightly perceive this ambivalent feeling in love and think, oh well, once we've tried that, but once I've done that, I don't want to go back there in these problematic areas, and it's so harmful, I feel like it hurts me. Yeah, also me, I feel like my heart is there's something wrong already all these past month, I mean maybe 3 or 4 months, something wrong. It's a cyclical periodical feeling that sometimes maybe it's strong, but yeah, this feeling of being really sick. Cyclic, yeah. Okay, and therefore people say, oh well, let's lock ourselves into a monogamous relationship because now we're secure. We've done that, looking for a partner, and it was so much work, it was so stressful. And yeah, that's right, and I totally can understand it, but still it's a lie to think like this, that it's a lie, and it's authoritarian to expect from your partner she or he or it should be so loyal to you, as if and should tell you about everything, and every breach of that loyalty could be measured by how much sex or whatever love you felt for another person. Well, but let's get past this this stuff. I don't really care, because it's my love theory, and right now it's all a mess. It's you know, yeah, you get so insecure, and you want to be also like this, and you want to feel this hurt, and I want to feel this, and I don't want to go in any depth about it and say, well, that's just that, that's just the situation now, and it's going to change, of course, someday, but I don't even see why this would be such a bad thing to live like this. And but yeah, I get it, that we're also suppressed by capitalism, and because of that we already feel so insecure because of the economic insecurities. And then we just want to say, at least in the field of love, there we want to be sure and be conservative. And also because everything is so wild out there in the economic sphere, and the fear is always present about the economy crashing and getting unemployed and stuff. Therefore you say, but at least I will have my partner. This love is so secure and it's out of this world. Our love, our sacred love bond doesn't get touched from the cruelty and all the mud of the world. So I gotta tell you people, I'm doing this. I'm publishing this shit out of it. And forget about the names, gotta find a solution. Gotta anonymize it. But I want to express my inner, my guts, all, get it all out, I can have it all, my heart and my guts. And it's not even about this one girl that I wanted her to hear all this, also maybe, but it's not the main factor, I'd say. Because, of course it's a factor. Now, as I explained, I like to talk so much in English to train myself to be able to talk to her, but now it's not even possible to talk to her, I don't know why. But okay, of course that's a factor in that decision, that I felt I needed to go more in that direction of talking English. But on the other hand, there are other factors, like, just sounds cool, right? If you're talking English, that's, you're talking shit, you're saying motherfucker or stuff like that. And I feel like Spanish, that's more a chichorreo, it's a zwitschern, or it's funny to hear, it's nice, it's fast and furious, let's say, a little furious at times it might sound, and it's so great, it's sí, es chicos, es maravilloso, pero por otra parte está el English, es sounds more sophisticated, also more sophisticated than German, and sounds just like a bomb. Sounds like, America is ruling the world, right? It's the superpower number one. I don't know why they say this in Norgena, foam finger number one. What is this foam? But okay, they're number one on every stage, and you gotta love them. I gotta reproach myself for being a little anti-American maybe in the last couple episodes, but I'm saying reprimand myself for that, scold myself, this isn't right to be like this, because there are also so beautiful girls there in America, you have, and girls and boys also, and other transgender people, also beautiful, and they all have such loud voices. I felt when I was traveling California and Nevada, I heard that about them, that with their voices they talk so loudly, and I love the cappuccinos and whatever you get at Starbucks. But there was this one thing, a blueberry scone, and I didn't even know this word before, but a scone is like a muffin, just bigger, or not a muffin, maybe a cookie, but I loved it so much. It's so, a scone, blueberry scone. Oh, and I ate that every day, and it was a problem when I returned to Germany and didn't have these delicious blueberry scones. But even if you order just a blueberry scone, the girl or boy there will talk to you so loudly and say, oh yeah, here's your cappuccino and blueberry scone, anything else, sir? Or I don't know what it's, but it's so it's just unheard of. When I was traveling back then 4 years ago through South America and Brazil and Chile, Peru, and at the end of my trip I came to the United States just for 10 days, I think. Well, just, but this the whole voyage was so long, about 2 months. And then I went there, just these two or three states, Arizona, Nevada, and L.A., this state of L.A., California. And, it's unheard of that people talk like this. But it's not just the the noisiness, the volume, it's also their openness and frankness, and oh, it's so kind and warm. And these people there, maybe it's special, of course, in California because the weather is also warm. But I think it's a general phenomenon across the United States that you can experience that people are not so zugeknöpft, like in Germany. Zugeknöpft is a nice word because it's like you have a jacket and you have a zugeknöpft, and you have different buttons at your jacket and your clothing button. This is like zuknöpfen, and zugeknöpft is buttoned up, yeah, but it has another meaning. Reserved is yeah, this is the second meaning. Buttoned up doesn't have this double meaning, of course. Tight-lipped, yeah, that's what I'm so tight-lipped and I like it. I can't I don't even know if I would want to change. This is the real question of my life that can be for me now, of course, also with this podcast. But yeah, back then when I remember this voyage and this time Las Vegas, was there, Los Angeles, just a couple of days, and yeah, I would like to be like this, like these Americans, and speak up and be not reserved at all. And yeah, they don't just say, "Hey, sir, what else do you want for your cappuccino?" They say elaborate stuff, or maybe if it's not elaborate, but they're still so friendly or so straightforward, straight out of the hip, they shoot there. Do you like just the normal milk or soy latte milk? And yeah, but LA also is a little, is well, of course the city is so big that I didn't even see much of it, but it's a little too clean. And yeah, I get this feeling, this tourist places, they're so clean, and it's I don't know, it's kind of a fake city, you get the impression. Of course it's also much wealth, I don't know if it's a big industrial center, I don't think so. Well, there's Hollywood, and I don't know what else, but yeah, get this impression like it's a little a fake city. And also remarkably, what I found remarkable is that the amount of Koreans and Spanish-speaking people there. But it was just because my Airbnb was in this one quarter, where it was a Korean quarter, I think, and there were so many Koreans. My God, Koreans! Like, no, I don't have anything against Koreans, and this was totally inappropriate what I said in this Litcast 9 about yeah, this totally inappropriate, and I love them, and they're so beautiful, and well, I don't know any Korean, but yeah, let's say they're maybe a little like the Germans. They like to work hard, and they have many supermarkets there, the Koreans. But then there's the Mexicans and all the other Latin Americans, and they sell their food right there on the street, and everyone's talking Spanish, all the prices in Spanish. That's what surprised me, but it's kind of normal, I think, in this part of the States. And yeah, this is the thing with Überfremdung, as we're saying in Germany, the native inhabitants then feel a little fremd, feel a little ajeno, foreign. Well, foreign in your own land, right? That's what the Nazis say here. Sorry, but yeah, fremd im eigenen Land, you become foreign in your own country. But yeah, I don't want to go into any more depth concerning that. But also saying, thinking about socialism, we have to protect the borders, right? And in capitalism, it's obvious that the bourgeoisie, the ruling class, always wants to get cheap labor and get people across the borders. But in socialist states, this was much more controlled. And yeah, although it's a good idea that refugees can come, and also other people can come for economic reasons, But we have to take a closer look at that, and in socialism these things will be handled differently. It won't be the market deciding who and where it comes. But of course in a country like Germany it is a lot of discussion that we need foreigners, we need Zuwanderung, we need migration to keep our economy running, because we're going to run out of people, out of stock, right, out of people. Getting less and less. And yeah, I say you're all welcome, and I don't have anything against that. You could also speak Spanish or even Korean in the streets, and even if I don't understand the letters, I'd be fine with it and say, yeah, take over. It's not my country. No, it's really not my country. I'm a communist, I think, globally, and we have to establish the World Republic of Socialism. And this is exactly maybe the direction I can go into now. Because I wanted to read something from a fictional work I was composing about Emmanuel Macron, the French president, and it's total fiction, and but Macron is real. He is real. I mean, Macron, just look at him, get a look at him, and you can't, even as a straight heterosexual man, you can't help but saying, oh man, this guy is attractive, this guy is maybe the greatest guy in the room. Yeah, oh, if he was here, I would grant him that title, yeah. But I gotta say, yeah, Macron, yes, something special, an aura, as we say, aura. He's a aura, yeah, surrounding light, gladiole, or whatever this calls. He's like an angel coming down there, and a good saying in Argentina, there are all this aphorism, or I don't know what it's called, but when man, well, that's exactly the problem, that is always up to us men to talk to women and to take the first step. And when a man wants to approach a woman in Argentina, can say, yeah, se abrieron las puertas del cielo, se cayó un ángel. The gates of heaven must have opened up because I'm standing right in front of an angel. An angel fell down. And this is, I found this really nice. If a woman would say that to me, I would say, yeah, oh, you're so nice, thank you. Or even if a man would say that, I'd say, yeah, thank you, bro. Maybe I go drink coffee with you, although I'm not really interested in a homosexual relation, but whatever, if someone can talk this nicely, I would value this, okay, so whatever, I don't know how I got here, and maybe it's even already enough what I said here, because I'm always saying a lot. And I just can't know if it's right, like with this other fucking podcast from November. Like, I feel I'm not the same person if I don't publish them. I'm just not the same. I mean, I heard this all, and I produced it all, and yeah, it's also nice to have this for me, but it was like a challenge. And by the way, my nickname used to be Challenger. Challenger. Wasn't Challenger also the spaceship that exploded? I'm like this. I'm that guy, right? I feel like I explode. And this was my nickname back in primary school. Challenger. And yeah, what was I about to say? I like to challenge something. I like to challenge because of these private podcasts. It's, yeah, kind of a challenge to publish such private stuff, but on the other hand, you gotta think about it. I've totally forgot what I was rambling on about challenge. That's a challenge in publishing that shit. But right, the challenge I set myself for, I was already since a long time back doing this private podcast apart from my real podcast Zischl & Deckli, and always speaking about private personal stuff, kind of a psychoanalytical session. And then maybe half a year ago in autumn I started giving them names and labels, because earlier I just named these podcasts after the date and said, oh yeah, this is private podcast number 2203, because that was the date. But then I started with these three private podcasts, saying, well, Litcast is important, of course, because I consider myself a writer, like a real writer, not like John, who used to have his column. or writing for a tech magazine. Of course, that's not real writing, but okay. I'm a real writer, yeah, as real as it gets. But still, your newsletters, of course, they qualify as real writing. They have jokes and stuff, and this is all I also care about in Macron's like comedy stuff. But and then I said Litcast is the one, Zcast is the other one, because ZK is the abbreviation for Zentralkomitee, which was the central planning instance of the communist parties back then when they were strong. And yeah, there was a Politburo. The Politburo was kind of like the government, or laying down, setting out the basic course of politics. Of course, then there were ministers, but Politburo discussed all the political stuff and what to do, how to organize. And then Zcast. And therefore, Zcast, because I think it's good to organize. I want to get my shit together, yeah. I want to organize my life and to set here, do this, do that. And I give orders in this Zcast, yeah. Although I don't follow them then, but still it feels great to give orders. And yeah, so this is Zcast. And the last one is the best one, like I said, Castelcast, yeah. Like Castellano, like I explained already. And this is... So I named them, and there it already became more real. But then they were still not that good. I felt that when I was recording and listening then, I think, to Litcast 5. I heard that and I thought, well, yeah, guy. Well, dude, you're talking, but it never quite gets there to this level of, well, I don't know, the perfect rhythm, it's a perfect storm, like you talk when you're on the record for Zischl & Deckli, or also for my Spanish podcast, Visita Cubrite. Always it's better when you feel like someone's gonna listen to it. I gotta speak up, I gotta give my best, because someone else is going to listen to it. And there, yeah, that was just the thing I wanted to mention. Then I made this challenge and said to myself in Litcast 6, oh well, we're gonna see. I'm gonna bring it. I'm gonna make a podcast that's better than anything else I was publishing. I'm gonna speak like it's like it's the last podcast on earth, and like this is gonna be way superior than Zischl & Deckli, and this is gonna be a treasure for everyone who finds this podcast so lucky to listen to it. This was exactly what I said, I think, in Litcast 6 or 7. And then right shortly after that I started with this November cast. Zcast 3 came first, then came Litcast 8, then Castelcast 2. Well, this is a chronological order, just different names and stuff, because I wanted to dissipate it in these categories of Litcast, Zcast, Castelcast. But never mind, this is all chronologically recorded in that order. And yeah, I think with that 3, and in total 6, I think with that 6 casts I really did it. I mean, like, first then I thought, like, Castelcast 3, where I talked about vices of history and me and my people, that this should be the only one I should publish. And this because there I was already kind of talking like to a bigger audience and letting aside all the private stuff, saying, oh well, the swinish stuff. I was thinking about the swinish stuff until yesterday, but no longer, no more. Past that, this was also great, but it shouldn't be. Of course, you shouldn't be praising your own work. Gotta be demütig. Demut ist eine Tugend. Is the opposite of a vice. Tugend. Humbleness, yeah, is a. Virtue. So, yeah, but yeah, then I thought that could be published, but I also thought so many nice things that I said in these other podcasts, and oh, would be a shame, would be a loss to humanity, right? So, but yeah, I think I did that challenge and I totally aced it. I mean, I couldn't even think about how much better this could have gone. Just it went so good that now it puts me in front of these problems of thinking, yeah, this has to be published, but yet so personal, and I have to cut out all the fucking names, all the beautiful names of my colleagues and friends, and I don't want to incommodate them or implicate them also in a communist rise up. They could be also part of the. Yeah, subject to investigation of the secret police here, Verfassungsschutz, as we call it, because this is the police investigating against them, these kinds of Vaterlandslose Gesellen, about people who are not so happy with the current state of the state and of state of the economy, and that's like me, like a communist, and yeah, I don't want to bring them in, get them into any kind of trouble, and yeah, because of all that, yeah, all that, but I don't even know if all this makes sense. I'm just losing my mind, I feel like. Yeah, but I feel like this I mentioned, I'm not the same person anymore. If I don't get this published out, it's just not gonna be me. I feel this once it was said, you become a different person. And this is me, and I also want to be show all my vices and how bad person I am. And after that, I'm gonna feel better, right? Because all your badness, you carry that out. And yeah, andere schädigen. Wenn nicht sich selbst schädigen, muss andere schädigen. Es wird a big idol, a communist writer here in Germany wrote. Yeah, you just. The only way to fight is to produce. There he cited a Brazilian director who said that, Glauber Rocha, and this is a very good phrase, I think. The only way to fight is to produce, and this way you have to be as a communist. You have to produce your own theory or even thoughts, even just reading Marx is such a difficult work. It's highly appreciated as a communist. Everyone can do that and can buy a couple or just one book from Marx for 25 euros, and there you go. You start and you're producing your own theory, understanding the theory of Marx and thinking about current world affairs, current stand of the productive forces, and how to apply the Marxist theory today. Okay, but producing. Yeah, only way to fight is to produce. And then he wrote, well, you have to harm others if you don't want to always harm yourself and keep your thoughts to yourself. Let them fight inside you. Yeah, they're gonna fight you, they're gonna harm you. But there's a simple solution to that. You gotta bring him out. And by that, yeah, you maybe or probably will also harm others because they. We might get offended. You gotta, especially the communists, we always try to shatter the beliefs and the facts that people take for granted about this world, like capitalism is without alternative, like no agenda takes this for granted, and yet, think of themselves as such subversive revolutionaries already. But no, you're not even conspiracy theorists. I don't grant you that title. I hope that's clear. Also, if my well, wasn't so of course wasn't so polite to offend you, Adam Curry, all the time. But still, I think that there's a valid point in that, that you just gets me so angry when someone is not a real conspiracy theorist, like we are, the communists, and spinning our theory and a theory of the takeover, of the blow up of the state and the economic machinery. But okay, I think with that I've said enough, and I just gotta say this Macron stuff we can leave for later. We'll leave that for some other time. I will introduce it because I wrote in German, obviously, and it's gonna be so nice to talk about this in English, because this the whole story, pre-story, is the Ukraine war, what inspired me, and what inspired me to write this fictional thing. Let's say the genre is really a crude Verschwörungserzählung. It's a conspiracy theory, right? It's a theory about what Macron and all his pals are doing there, and planning, and intriguing. Intrigues, spinning intrigues. I was on vacation in October for my birthday with my then girlfriend, her name Ricarda, as I mentioned, and Ricarda, yeah, right. And there, we were in the Black Forest, and we made a beautiful walk, but it was kind of foggy. And it was so beautiful in a landscape with many hills and many cows and everything. The grasses were so green, the grass. But there was a cafe, and there we sat, cafe out in the middle of nowhere, and there were two other people talking there, and the one guy, about middle aged, about 50 maybe. The guy then said something like, yeah, well, the people here in the West are happy with their governments, and the people in the Northwest, the people elsewhere on the globe, well, I don't know, what about that? Are they happy with the government, or? No. Well, it was just this phrase that stuck to me, that he said, yeah, the people here are happy with their government, at least in the West, that's the case. And this got me thinking, yeah, is it true, or are they just so manipulated and ruled over their heads to be conform with the government? Or, yeah, as always, my theory, based on this other podcast, this theory from Aufwachen podcast, was always that there's so much suffering and misery in these other people, non-Western, other countries, non-Western countries and people, that they're the Westerners just are so ashamed and so fearful this might happen to them, that they say, oh yeah, of course we're loyal to our regime, at least it's better than everything else, all the alternatives, and therefore comes this loyalty and this security, I don't know, Gewissheit, to be on the right side. And of course it's nice to live in a country like here where you can walk the street at night. In Germany, also in the United States, you can't do that in every city or in every part of the cities. Of course, it's wholly the social situation there is also way more antagonistic, as Marx used to say, than here in Germany. And here you can just walk the streets at night anytime, and there's no feeling of angst, although we're always ängstlich as Germans, but still not in that sense. It's also secure and nice, and of course that's nice to have a functioning state and everything is working more or less, with public transport, registers, official documents and so on. You can get them, although it's a bureaucratic procedure, but of course it's good things are working, but still that's a totally different question to the political framework, and you can't totally be an enemy of that framework, enemy of the state, right? And you have to be. If not, you're complicit and you're just as guilty as all those politicians or all those capitalists. Well, sorry, people, but yeah, you're also guilty, and I just don't want to be guilty, therefore, I have to. Diese auslassen, making a fool of myself, making me lächerlich. No, therefore, I have to speak up here and tell whatever. And yeah, I gotta finish this up. Just was talking about the situation in this coffee, and he said, "Oh yeah, people are happy with the government." And what would you protest for? Asked his wife. Well, if you'd go out there protesting like maybe those Corona protesters. And yeah, he didn't even know. And maybe for the climate, I think that's what he said. But yeah, it doesn't matter here in Germany. We don't have, in that sense, any problems. Or at least this class, the ruling class, has such a stronghold over the heads that there are so many Kleinbürger, so many small petite bourgeois. They feel they have the same mindset as the bourgeois, as the capitalists, and they feel they're also making profits. Although maybe half of German people don't even have any savings or any proper savings to that could allow them certain economic freedom, but still, also, still they don't count. Maybe they don't go to cast their vote on election day. So that's that. It just doesn't count. But even if they went, it's still such a rigid hold over media and all of us. It's like a parallel reality. I mean, what goes on there? What's reality is really defined there in this media bubble and the TV and radio shows and so on. And you can define anything really. It's yeah. Just the thing is that it's not right what he said there. The people aren't so happy, and this gets clearer more and more day by day. There are objective frustrations and so on. And Corona is only a smaller sign of that, but still, with Corona, you can see with a pandemic, that still their stronghold, their hold over our head is so strong, and maybe even stronger than it was before. In insecure times, everyone looks there to someone guiding them, and that's the media or the government who's in bed with them. And that's like in love, like a said in the beginning, if everything is so insecure, you have much angst about getting unemployed and about the future, the climate, the atomic war, which are real fears, right? But if that's the case, then you might just end up saying, well, whatever. Being loyal to my regime here, that guarantees me the best outcome, that's the best option. And therefore, everything. Therefore, this normalcy we find every day appears as normal, although it's so brutal, and we should say, well, yeah, someone could go to jail for jerking off maybe in the train. But what is this? What kind of system is this? Capitalism? It's like we're all jerking off on us naked every day. It's such a, yes, it's a big shame to be like an animal having to work for the bourgeois, being all naked and saying, yeah, what can you, which part of my body can you use, please, bourgeois? Where can I be helpful? And what can I do to please you? We're all kind of prostitutes in the labor market, at least the proletarians, I mean, those who don't have the capital. But with that, I think I laid that out. I think I've said it, and I also gotta say about Macron, about this work, that I want to finish this up quite soon, because there's a lot of work, tremendous work still left to do, but the whole plot and stuff is maybe more or less hat Hand und Füße. It has a hand and foot, as we say in German, when we say something is or is in a stable state, is in is viable, or yeah, something like that. But I also want to get past this because I have many other works, and I just gotta say this one last thing. I gotta be really hard and discipline myself, and also yeah, just say yeah, gotta be working on that, because I don't even know, I don't want to be so famous, because then too many girls could love me, right? Because right now it's already too much. I feel like yeah, there's two girls, but then might be others, and this is too much. Yeah, I feel if only this holy monogamy would work, we could go back in time and and like in the prehistoric time, live like in communism and have also many polygamous relationships, like Friedrich Engels used to describe in his work Der Staat, die Familie und das Privateigentum. And with that I say, yeah, if only we could go back in time, right? And I can maybe play this one, a song by a song. Thong, what is thong? Is something erotic, I think. I gotta look this up. what was that? But I gotta play this song by Luke Mitrani, Turn Back the Time, I think it's called. Oh yeah, thong is a lederband. It's used for sadomasochistic playings, I think. Oh yeah, that's. Oh. I think, yeah. G-string panty is also a thong. Oh yeah, this thong will play, and with that I say thank you for your courage, and tune in, drop out, what was this, gotta look that up, by Tim Leary, right, the acid freak. Turn on, tune in, drop out, as a book by him. Turn on, tune in, drop out. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, people, and thanks for sharing this little crisis with me, for bearing my sorrows and problems with me in this analytical castle cast, and goodbye until next time. You mine.